Mesechtas Bava Metzia, Daf Samaches, four lines from the top of Daf Samaches and Aleph, and previously we discussed the concept of Meshkanta Ba'asud Misalki and a Meshkanta Ba'asud Loi Misalki, and there were various customs and minhagim in various places as to how they dealt with the Mashkin, and in some places when a borrower gave a Mashkin to a lender, the borrower always had a right to prepay the loan and take back his Mashkin. However, in other places, the borrower did not have a right to take back his Mashkin up until a certain point, and he couldn't prepay his loan as there was a lockout period because the lender wanted to get the benefit of this mashkin and using the mashkin and having profits from the mashkin in a way that it would not be a problem of ribbis. And as we explained in Daf Samach Zayin, based on the structure Kol Kitzutza as well as other structures, and our Gemara begins Amar Rashi, the Ravashi states, and Rashi explains that Ravashi is even talking about a case where a lender takes a mashkin and it's a place where the borrower could prepay the mashkin, and even so Amrli Sabbat and Masa Mechasio, the elders of the town of Masa Mechasio, which was the town where Rabashi lived, they told him Stam Mashkanta Shasa, that there was even a lockout period on a Stam Mashkin, even by Asher Misalki, and a borrower cannot prepay a Mashkin within the first year, and there is a lockout period, even though it's an Asher Misalki. And the Gemara explains, the Main Afkamino, and was the Afkamino, the Ochel Shasa Masi Misalikle, as if the lender already had a right to the Sada for 1 year, and he used the profits for 1 year, then the borrower could pay him off and take back his mashkin. However, if the lender did not yet have the opportunity to use this mashkin for 1 year, then the borrower has no right of prepayment and he can't redeem his mashkin within the first year. And the Gemara continues with another din Rav Ashi taught us. Once again, the elders of Masa Mechasya told me, my mashkanta, that what is the lashon of mashkanta? The shchuna gabei, that now that the lender has a mashkin, therefore he's considered the closest neighbor of this field. And the Main Afkamina, Ladina by Metzra, and Afkamina would be Benegated Dina by Metzra. And we know that if Reuven has a field and it's right next to Shimon's field, and Reuven wants to sell it, and he goes and markets the property, and he has an offer to sell this property for $100,000. Then Shimon has a right to buy the property for the same terms and under the same conditions, and he could pay Reuven $100,000. And if Reuven goes and sell this property to a third party, then Shimon could go to the third party and force him to sell it to him for $100,000. And our situation, since the lender has this mashkin, therefore he's considered the closest neighbor. And even though Shimon may be a next door neighbor, however, the lender has a right to actually buy this property, and he takes precedence even over the closest neighbor. And as Rashi states, the shkuna gabei in shachar kari memenu v'mbah loyva l'meichra in b'bal matzareh shachar toiv l'knoisa kazeh. And therefore, based on the same din of asisa yashav atoiv, the buyer would have a responsibility to sell the sada to the lender. And keep in mind, although b'negeh first din of Rav Ashi b'negeh stam hashkata shasa, we explained it based on Rashi that Rav Ashi is also talking about a case of ba'asur misalki. However, the Rashi says pirish stam hashkata b'chol stam mekaymos ad shehesha minig l'salka afil. And Rashba clearly understands Rav Ashi is just telling us that if you have an asur the loy matzi misalkle, then in that scenario, if there wasn't an actual minig, then the standard is that you have to wait at least 1 year. And Ritva says pirish ba asur the loy misalki im mashkin lekakastam ein yochel misalki teich shana al ba asur misalki lo ilu misalki kumin hagam ba filu kavod leizman v'shloik pirish Rashi shpirish afilu ba asur misalki v'din asur misalki ein elu beir yishana. And the only way that we consider that an ear has a minig, that the borrower is able to be misalik the lender immediately, is only in a place where there was a tnai in the bnei ear for a long time, and it was done by maimid anshei ear, and therefore with an actual minig hamakim that was set up by the city. And the Gemara continues, and we'll discuss three different structures which will be asa because of ribbis, and we will first read the words and then explain what they are. So Amr Rav, Rav states, Les hechasa, the halach is not like and the Gemara explains Kitarshe Papanoi. When we discussed the case of Tarshe Papanoi, Kitarshe Durab Papa, this is referring to the case that we had previously on Daf Samachayim and Aleph, and Rab Papa was a wholesaler of date beer, and the price in Nisan was higher than the price in Tishrei, and Rab Papa's beer was a very good quality beer that wouldn't spoil between Tishrei and Nisan, and Rab Papa was also wealthy, and therefore he didn't need the money specifically in Tishrei, and instead of selling the beer based on the market price of beer in Tishrei, he would sell and deliver beer to people in Tishrei for the price that they would generally pay in Nisan. And as we explained, that from a pupper's perspective, there was no issue with Tavis because he wasn't actually gaining anything since he didn't need money at that point, and he could have waited until Nisan to sell his beer and been able to sell at that price in any case. Therefore, he felt that he's only benefiting the people that he's pre-delivering their beer to them prior to them paying, and he gave them time to pay until Nisan. And therefore, he felt that it's mutter for him to charge them the market value and the market prices that would be in Nisan. However, as we saw, the Rav Sheshet Brei Ravidi said to our papa, "My chazi mad ka'azlus basi didach. Why are you looking from your perspective? Zil basi didu the idul havlu zuzi how shakli kahashta and hashta the less luzuzi shakli kiyaku dol kamei." That you should be looking at it based on the perspective of the buyers, and the buyers certainly would rather pay you at this point and get the prices of Tishrei. However, they don't have money, and therefore they're paying you an extra fee to be able to pay you in Nisan. And of course, there may be an api tabris, but certainly there is a problem in Neshech as you're biting into their profitability and you're causing them a loss, and therefore there is an issue of ribbis, and it would be asa. And the Gemara continued that the second din that Rav spoke about was shtari mechuznai, and he said that that is also not going to be mutar. And what is the case of shtari mechuznai? Zok to Gemara, the zok v'lei l'ravacha akana, and the kos v'lei b'shtara. And the case is a standard case of iska, where someone is making a business transaction with another person. And for example, Reuven gives payers to Shimon, and he tells Shimon, go and sell these payers, and you will keep half of the profits, and I will keep half of the profits. And as we will see in the next Mishnah, there are ways to do this beheta. However, in this case, Reuven and Shimon actually estimated what the profits were going to be, and they actually placed it into the shtar as if Reuven lent that entire money, including the profits, to Shimon. And for example, Reuven was lending $100 to Shimon to go and buy payers, and then Shimon would sell these payers and make $100, and there would be $100 of profit, and therefore Reuven would get back his original $100 that he invested, and he would also get $50 of profit, and Shimon would receive $50 of profit as well. And instead of just writing that each of them would get 50% of the profit, they actually estimated that there would be $100 of profit, and therefore Reuven would be entitled to $50 of profit, and therefore Shimon wrote to Reuven that I will owe you $150. And of course, this would definitely be beneficial to some degree to Shimon, as ultimately Shimon capped the amount of profits that he would give Reuven, and he only promised to give Reuven up to $50. But ultimately, Rav stated that this is also, and as the Gemara states, miyemin to have a revacha, as who said there would be profits at all. And since Shimon promised to pay Reuven $150 no matter what, and even if the profits would not be $50, then this would be a problem of ribbis, and therefore it's also. And the Gemara continues to discuss the din of shtari mechuznai, as Amalei Mar Bar Meima le Rav Ashi. Mar Bar Meima said to Rav Ashi, Abba Ovid Hochi, my father Meima would actually make a shtar like the shtari mechuznai, v'chi asal kamei mehemelu. However, he felt that it was mutter for him to do so, because he also told the borrower that if you come back to me and you tell me that you didn't make as much profits and you didn't make $100 and therefore I'm not entitled to $50, I will believe you and you won't be required to pay $50 extra to me, and you'll only be responsible to pay me my original principal, and you'll be responsible to pay me $100. And the Mefarshim explained that L'chira, why would Amema write this shtar in this manner if ultimately he would believe the borrower and he wouldn't charge them the $50 in any case, and he wouldn't take any profits unless the borrower was profitable? So why wouldn't he just state that I'm taking 50% of any profits? And they explained that he wanted to make it a serious transaction, and he wanted the borrower or his partner to actually agree that this is what he told him, and he originally told him that the expected profit would be $50, and that would put more pressure on his partner to perform and make sure that he has profits of at least $50. And the Gemara tells us that Omalei Rav Ashi said to Mar Bar Meima that even though your father made this clause with the borrower and with his partner, however, Tena Chechad Isaludi Day, that is very good where your father Meima would be around, and therefore he knows that he made this verbal commitment, and therefore if the borrower and his partner partner would come back and say they didn't have profits, he would believe him. But he shachar v'nafal shtar kamei yasmi my havi. But if a meimer would die and the shtar would come in front of his assignment and in front of his children, lemaisa they don't know about this verbal commitment and they wouldn't necessarily believe the borrower and believe their partner. And therefore, even in a case where there were profits and therefore they're entitled to $50, but ultimately this is a problem of ribbis and therefore they shouldn't be able to collect at all. And this is not a proper way to write a shtar, even in a case where the lender actually verbalizes that if the borrower and his partner comes back and he tells them they weren't profitable, then he will only collect the principal and he will not collect any profits. And the Gemara tells us that since Rav Ashi said to Mar Bar Meima, Ishachiv, if a Meima dies, so Kishkoga Shiyotzim Mufnei HaShalit, it was similar to a ruler and a king that says something, and even though he says it B'Shoigeg, and he didn't really mean to say that, L'maisa, he will keep his words and do what he said, V'nach Nafshei Da Meima, therefore Meima died, and this is similar to the cloud that we know that Tzadik Goizav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, and we also know that Kilas Chacham Afilu Bechinam Huba. Before we continue with the third din of Rava, let's point out that we mentioned in Daf Sabach Zayin and Beis that there are various structures where a person that lends money to someone and takes a mashkin can lechatchila keep the payris and keep the profits and won't be over even on Issa of Ribbis Rabbanon. And of course we mentioned the case of Nechiasa and B'negei Atzur Rabbanon, we mentioned the case of Kitzutza, and we have also mentioned in the past the difference between an oris and someone that takes a field, b'chakiris, as an owner of a field could give his property to an oris, and then the oris works the field, and the deal is that the oris and the actual owner split the profits, and the oris will keep 25% or 33% or 50% of the yield of the payers. However, we also mentioned the case of chakiris, which is a similar scenario, and the owner of the field gives his sada over to someone called a chaker, and a chaker takes much more risk than an oris. And the deal is that the chayker will actually give a specific amount of payers and a produce to the owner, and the rest he will keep. And certainly there is no question that if Reuven lends $1,000 to Shimon and he structures the mashkin in a way that it was a heter to keep all the payers and to keep the profits, and he did it either b'derech nechiyasa or b'derech kitzusa, then certainly if Reuven is not a farmer, he could take that field and he could give it over to a chayker, and he could make a deal with the chayker that the chayker will actually work the field, and then they will split the profits, and there won't be any issue in that scenario. However, as we will see in our Gemara, Rava teaches us that this is not allowed in the case where the lender actually gives the field back to the borrower, and has the borrower work the field, and the borrower will now act as a chayker, and will give a specific amount of payers and a specific yield of the crop to the lender, as even if it's a case where they actually set this up properly, and Reuven actually took off a specific amount of money from the loan for every single year, the deal was structured as an nechiyasa, but even so, this still looks like ribbis. People don't look at this mashkin as if the mashkin belongs completely to the lender. The lender is now giving his own field to the borrower in order to be his chaker. Instead, they look at this field as if the field completely belongs to the borrower, and the borrower is only giving payris and a yield to Reuven because of ribbis and not based on chakiris, and therefore it's mechsek ribbis and it will be asar. And let us now see this in the Gemara, chakirin nashoi, that Rava said a third halacha that chakirin nashoi is asa to do, the kasvi hachi, and the case of chakirin nashoi is where the lender wrote to the borrower as follows, mishkalei planya ari leplanya v'hada chakri minei, that the lender took a specific field from the borrower as a mashkin, and then he gave that same field back to the borrower in order to do chakiris for him. And the Gemara explains that the reason why this is asa is emes kona de akne nele, when did the lender actually acquire the sada in order to now give the sada to the borrower as a chakiris, and we therefore look at it as if the lender is giving the borrower's own sada. The only reason why the borrower is sharing his profits with the lender must be because of ribbis. We explained that there would be a problem of ribbis drabbanon. However, Ayin Rashi diba maschal emes kanya malva lahach sada, that one was the malva koin the sada the akden nale lebailim b'teres chakiris, that he now has a right to give this sada to the original owner and to the borrower b'teres chakiris nimsa noitel ribbis katsutza, and therefore it comes out that he's taking ribbis katsutza. And some explain that Rashi doesn't mean mamish ribbis katsutza, but he means it's similar to ribbis katsutza. And the reason why it's also shari'in tere'erpa, because the lender is not being metriach himself, v'afim tilaka liyasu mechikurusu klum, that l'maisa the lender doesn't have any downside over here, and therefore it will be usher. And the Gemara continues, v'idna the kakosvi hachi, and nowadays that they write the following in this type of shtar, that the lender states, kanina minei, that I acquired this sada as a mashkin from the borrower, v'shehina kami Kami Donim, and I already held on to the Sada for many periods of time. Rashi says that the lender already held the Sada and worked the Sada for 3 complete years, and as we know from Masechta Bava Basra, that once someone has a Achila of 3 years in the Sada, that shows Bailis, and only after 3 years did he give it back to the borrower in order the borrower should be his worker, and the borrower promised to give to the lender a specific amount of crops from the yield of the Sada. Then as the Bachas Gerish Shapidami, that this scenario and this structure would be a valid structure, Kadesh Leitinel Delos B'Pnei Lovin, as if we don't let the lender give the Sada to the borrower in order to work, and generally the borrower was the one who was the professional and was the farmer, then of course a lender won't want to lend money, and therefore in this structure they said that since it already looks like the field of the lender, so therefore it wouldn't be Mechsek Ribis and it would be Mutta. However, the Gemara says V'la Milsi, ultimately since the lender doesn't have any expenses and he doesn't have any risk, therefore it's Mechsek Ribis, and therefore even if you will use this structure it would still be Asa as it would be Mechsek Ribis. As Rashi says that Filu Shihinami Asa the Ribis Gemuri, as even in this case where you waited and the lender actually worked the field for 3 years, or he gave it to a third party to work for 3 years, the lender still has no right to give it to the actual borrower to be the chayker. As Rashi says, as in this case, there is no risk, and the only structures that would be mutar and would be able to circumvent the dinim of ribis is only in scenarios where the lender is accepting upon himself some element of risk. And before we continue with the new Mishnah, let us explain the way people used to set up partnerships. Now, for example, if Reuven either had money or had merchandise and wasn't a storekeeper or salesperson, so he would go to Shimon and make a deal that I will provide the capital needed for this transaction and you will provide the sweat equity and be the managing or working partner. And for example, if there was a need for a $1,000 investment and the anticipated profit would be $500, so Reuven would give $1,000 to Shimon as an investment and Reuven and Shimon would split the $500 profit evenly. So eventually, Reuven would receive back his initial capital investment of $1,000 plus an additional $250, which is his share of the profits, and Shimon would receive $250 of profits. Now, certainly the easiest way to set up this partnership would be for Reuven to take all the risk and receive 50% of the profit, but if Shimon loses all of the money, then Shimon wouldn't be responsible, and certainly there is no element of interest involved, as Shimon isn't borrowing any money from Reuven and isn't responsible for the money, and therefore he is really just working for Reuven and receiving a profit share. However, in order that Shimon has some skin in the game, so it would actually set up a partnership called Chetzi Milva Chetzi Pekadin, where 50% of the $1,000 was set up as a loan, and Shimon was responsible to pay back 50% of the money invested, and if Shimon loses the money, then Shimon would actually have to pay Reuven $500, and 50% was set up as a Pekadin, which was still owned by Reuven. And now, clearly, since Shimon borrowed $500 from Reuven, so certainly Shimon is entitled to the $250 of profit that was generated by his share of the money and investment, and Reuven's $500 share of the investment also generated $250 of profit, so Reuven will get back his initial $1,000 plus $250 of profit, and Shimon will get $250 of profit. However, there's one major issue with the structure. Ultimately, Reuven didn't work and didn't earn his $250, and the only way Reuven earned the $250 of profit is because Shimon worked and sold this merchandise, and though half of Shimon's work was definitely for his own profitability, but the rest of his work, he was doing it for Reuven for free, and since Shimon wasn't compensated for his work, so it must be that he was doing this service for free for Reuven because Reuven gave him a loan of $500, and there was an issue of Ribis Rabbanon, and therefore the Mishnah will teach us that in order to avoid any question of Ribis, Reuven has to pay Shimon a wage for his work, and the Gemara will define the wage that Reuven must pay Shimon. And the Mishnah begins by bringing 2 very similar scenarios, and the Gemara will ask why we have to bring both of these scenarios, and the Mishnah states, Eim Shimon Chemin L'Mechseschar, V'leitim Mois Likachon Peris L'Mechseschar, that Reuven can't provide merchandise to Shimon, and Shimon will go and sell this merchandise and split the profits, and Reuven also can't give money to Shimon in order that Shimon should go and buy merchandise and buy Peris in order for him to sell it, and then once again, Reuven and Shimon will split the profits, and of course in this case, we're talking about a scenario where it was done as Chatzi Milva V'Chatzi Bekadin, and the Mishnah states that the only way that this would be Mutar is Elam Kein Nisle Scharik Opoil, unless Reuven actually pays Shimon a wage like a worker, and the Gemara will explain exactly what it means when the Mishnah states Nisle Scharik Opoil, but ultimately it comes out that Shimon will receive $250 of profit, plus Reuven has to pay him an additional fee as his wages because Shimon actually worked and actually produced his profit, and if he wouldn't pay him his schar yikvah poyel, then there would be an element of ribis. And the Mishnah continues with a similar case, that im ashiv in tanagoyel mechza, that if Reuven has eggs and he doesn't have a hen, and he goes to Shimon who has hens, and he tells him, I want your hens to sit on my eggs and incubate my eggs. And once again, they set this up as a chetzi milva and chetzi pekodin, and their deal is that they will split the profits. And once again, the Mishnah teaches us that there's an element of ribis involved because Shimon is actually putting in all the work and not getting compensated. And as Rashi says, that they actually appraise the eggs and they give a value of the eggs, and therefore it's going to be asa. And as Rashi says, the hoil v'zeh mekabel of achray is chetzi d'mei abeim, that since Shimon was mekabel himself half of the value of the eggs, imiskalklu imimusu havle palga milva, and therefore it's a case of palga milva sharei nishem lo b'damim me'achshav d'meim lo b'milva v'nimse zeh megadol chetzi v'asheni b'scham tanz moisav, as we explained. And similarly, ein shomen agolim v'siyachlu mechza, Reuven can give young calves and colts to Shimon in order that Shimon should take care of it and feed it and make sure that it grows up healthy, and then they will split the profits. And they praised it originally, and for example, they determined that at this point the eagle is worth $1,000, and once again Shimon was mekabler chayis for 50% of the value of the calf, and therefore it was chetzi milva. And in this case, once again, even though he's receiving half the profits, but lemaisa he's doing the full amount of work, and therefore there should be a problem of ribis. And the Mishnah tells us that although it's asa, but elim kein nes l'schar mali mezaynai, but it would be muta if you pay Shimon the schar for his work as well as for any mezaynis that he extended and he had to pay for in order to feed the calves or to feed the young chickens. However, the Mishnah tells us that certainly al mekabel agol mesiachel lemechza, that if Shimon did not accept in part himself any part of the actual value of the animal or of the thing that he received at the merchandise, and he didn't accept upon himself chetzi milva, and therefore the full responsibility for the merchandise is on Reuven, then of course there's a standard case of a transaction where Reuven hired Shimon in order to do work for him. In that scenario, certainly it's mutta for Reuven and Shimon to split the profits, as ultimately Shimon doesn't have any risk and all the risk was Reuven's, and therefore certainly it's almost as if Reuven is hiring Shimon and saying that you're going to take care of my animals and I will pay you 50% of all the profits. And since there is no element of a loan in this scenario, therefore certainly this would be mutter. The Mishnah tells us, if Shimon agrees to take care of Reuven's animals up until the point that they get older, then there's a chiyuv for him to keep them until they actually are third grown. And as Rashi says, that Shimon has to take care of this animal until it grows up to a third. As once an animal is a third grown, it's an opportune time to sell the animal and receive a good profit, and therefore at that point they could sell the animal and they would split the profits. However, Reuven can't force Shimon to watch the animal for longer than that, and Shimon also can't back out prior to it growing to a third. And similarly, the Mishnah teaches us v'chamar ad shtei to'enes, that if Shimon made a deal to take care of a chamar until it grows up and at that point they will sell it and they will split the profit, then the only way that Shimon's deal will be in place is only if Shimon takes care of the donkey until it grows to the point that it's strong enough and big enough to be able to carry loads and to be able to carry packages. And as Rashi says, that this was the custom, that they would raise it until that point prior to going and selling it and earning a profit. And although Rashi states that Adshi Mishlasha means that they're third grown, and there's also the Shita of Ritva, which is brought down in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Yud Aleph, he states, V'anochon the Igla Tilsa, Hainu Shtehu Oimed al Shlush Gedulai, V'urach V'toy, V'uchraminim Perak Eilu Metzias, and as our Sugya states, Metap B'agolim Adshi Mishlashim. However, the Rambam says, U'megadlai son Adshi Agolim, B'nei Shol Shonim, he explains that you have to be metapel with these agolim and the siyachim until they're 3 years old. The Gemara begins that our Mishnah stated that the only way that you're allowed to go and make this deal of chetzi milva and chetzi bekodin is only elim kineis le schari kapoyel, and the Mishnah did not define what it meant when it said schari kapoyel, and the Brisa state tana kapoyel batal, that Reuven would have to pay Shimon a wage based on seeing how much he would take in order that he shouldn't work and make more money, and instead he wouldn't have to work at all. So for example, if a person does very hard work and he gets paid $10 an hour, so maybe that he'll be happy not to work at all and only get paid $5 for that hour. And therefore, in the case of a Mishnah, you would have to pay Shimon $5 an hour. The Gemara is bothered and he asks, my kapoyel batal, and as Rashi points out, haloi in yoshev batal, that ultimately Shimon is not sitting and doing nothing. He is actually selling merchandise, and as as Rashi says, Shere Terech Lahilch Lahavi Paris Lchanos, Vilimko, Vilakabal Mois, Vilimdra Paris, and there are a lot of jobs that he has to do, and therefore he's not just sitting around idly, and he's not just sitting around doing nothing. And how can you say they only have to pay him $5 an hour? And we continue on Daf Samach Chesam Beis, and Om Abaye, and Abaye therefore explains, Kapoil Batal Shal Isil Melacha, the Batal Mina, that the Mishnah means to tell us that if Shimon is a carpenter or blacksmith, and therefore he has a trade, and for example, he's being paid $100 an hour, and then you go over to him and say that if you don't do this work of being a carpenter or a blacksmith, and instead you'll be a storekeeper, which is much easier, and generally a storekeeper earns $25 an hour, and he would say that I don't want to take $25 an hour, but if you give me $50 an hour, then I'll work as a storekeeper, then the din would be that you have to pay him $50 an hour for all the work that he does while selling the produce. And the Gemara continues that in our Mishnah, we gave two different scenarios in the first part of the Mishnah, and both scenarios seem to be exactly the same. As in the first case, Reuven gave actual payers and produce to Shimon to sell, and in the second case, Reuven gave money to Shimon in order for Shimon to go buy merchandise and sell the merchandise. And l'chari, why would the Mishnah have to give both cases? And the Gemara tells the Vitzricha that we do need both cases, the Itan Chenvedi, as if we would say the first case of the storekeeper, Reuven gave Shimon the actual produce, so Chenvedi who desagit like kapoil batal, Mishum delay nafish terche. So maybe we would say that since the storekeeper did not have to go to buy the merchandise and Reuven gave him the actual merchandise, so maybe it's enough to pay him as a payo batal, avo mois likach ben peiris. But in the second case, where Reuven gave money to Shimon that Shimon should buy peiris, the nafish terche, where there's going to be much more tercha, as Shimon has to go and actually buy the produce, emo le sagale kapayo batal, maybe we would say that he has to even be paid more and it won't be enough to pay him just like a payo batal, and be etanam mois likach ben peiris. And if we would say the second case in the Mishnah, where Reuven gave money to Shimon that Shimon should go and buy peiris, have mina hasamu to buy kapayo batal mishum nafish terche, so maybe we would say that in that case, the Mishnah tells us that you have to pay him like a payo batal because he had a lav tercha, avul chenvelini delay nafish terche. But in the case where Reuven gave the produce to the storekeeper, the storekeeper didn't have to go to the market and buy produce, and he only had to sit in the store, and really there's not much tercha, so im masagi le b'mashu b'alma, let us say that would be enough if Reuven pays to Shimon a small amount of money and doesn't even pay him kepayo batal. And the Gemara borrows a term that we will see in Brice in a moment, that filo le tavli l'may ela betzira v'le ochli l'may ela gregus achas zero scharei, and even if Reuven would only allow Shimon to come and eat with him, and he would dip his bread into his brine, or he'll eat together with him one small dried fig, maybe that would be enough of a schar, and it would not be considered ribbis. And that is why our Mishnah brought both cases, in order to teach us that Reuven has to pay kischar poel batal in all scenarios. And the Gemara continues and brings a simon, kama izi v'tana goylim malin simon, and we'll see four different brises. And the first brisa will bring a three-way machlekes as to how much Reuven has to pay to Shimon in order that there shouldn't be a problem of ribbis. And as we will see, our Mishnah will fit in with the Shita Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And the Gemara begins, Tana Rabbanan, Kamu Uschari, that how much does Reuven have to pay Shimon in order that there shouldn't be a problem of ribbis, and in order that in the case of Chetzi Milva and Chetzi Bekodin, it doesn't look like Shimon is working for free for Reuven and is actually paying him ribbis. And the Gemara brings three Shitas. The first Shita is Rameya, Beim Ruba, Beimu at Divra Rameya. The Rameya holds as long as Reuven makes up a wage, Lechatchila, and he tells Shimon that I'm going to pay you a specific amount, then that would be fine, and even if it's going to be a smaller amount, and even if it's not the share of kapayo batal, and therefore that's not the shita of our Mishnah, as our Mishnah states that you always have to pay kapayo batal. And the Brisa continues, Rabbi Huda Imer, Rabbi Huda states, I feel like tavli may al betzia, v'le ochli may al gregus achas zeru scharei, and Rabbi Huda holds that there is no requirement to make up the wage, lechatchila, and even if you're just going to give this worker a small amount of money, and you'll only allow him to be tavli may betzia, or you give him an extra small fig, that is enough of a schar, and there is no problem of ribbis, and even though you didn't actually make this up, l'chatchila, and Rav Shimon ben Yochai, nois le schari mishalim, Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, they have to give him a proper wage, and this wage is based on what we said in the Mishnah, kapayil batal shal isa melacha de batal minei. And the Gemara continues with the second braisa, Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in the braisa, ein sham lo yisa izin, v'lo yisa reichelim, v'lo yikaldov she'ino isa v'oichel mechza, that Reuven can't take his goat or his sheep and give it to Shimon in order that Shimon should raise it, and they will split the profits lemechza, and they will do a standard din of chetzi milva chetzi bekadin, as goats and sheep don't work and don't produce profits, and they only eat food, and therefore they cause more losses then profits, and therefore the only way to do this beheta is as the Mishnah stated that nesli schar molayu mizaynai, that Reuven would have to pay Shimon for the schar of his tircha as well as any feed that he gave to these animals. However, as Rashi points out, avol eisav ichol, if there's an animal that actually produces profits even though it eats kagoyin parach hareshes, for example, if Reuven gives a cow that could plow or a chamar teenes, a donkey that could carry packages, pulasin huschar omol mazayin, then the work product that they will do for Shimon, which is valuable, will be considered a payment for Shimon's work and all the food that he gave to these animals. However, Rabbi Yehuda states, Shaman says, that you can't tell me that goats don't produce anything, as certainly goats produce milk, and therefore the milk will be valuable. That will counterbalance the work that Shimon puts in and the feed that he gives to the goat. Similarly, Verse Rechilim, and Reuven could give a sheep over to Shimon and not pay him any wages and not pay him for feed, and it won't be a problem of ribbis, as a sheep is similar to a cow and to a chamor, because it does produce profits, as a sheep produces wool. When you shear the wool off of the sheep, or when you wash the sheep, then the wool will fall off the sheep and you'll be able to get the profits of that wool. And similarly, when the sheep is walking and some of its wool gets caught in the thorns, then you'll also have the profits of that wool. And Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda continued, Vesatana Goylis, similarly, Reuven can lend a hen to someone structured in a manner of Chetzi Milva and Chetzi Bekadin without actually paying Shimon for the work that he does, and that's because Mepleshu Oisavai Cheles, the Lemaise produces eggs, and that will counterbalance Shimon's work product as well as the fact that he gives food to the Tana Goylis. And the Gemara continues and is bothered that Vetanakama Giza Vechol of Lesipe Schar Moli Mizainai, that why would the Tanakama argue on Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda if Lemaise it's true that these animals actually produce income and they produce the wool and they produce milk, and therefore certainly that should counterbalance any work that Shimon did and any mizoynes and any fee that he gives these animals? And the Gemara responds that ein chenami begizav chol of kuli amoy pligi, that certainly if the goat and the sheep actually produces milk and produces wool and Shimon has the rights to these items, then certainly that will go against any work product they did and any fee that he gives the goat or the sheep. And ki pligi b'nisyev v'seisrei, that the only time there's a machlekes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda is only in a case where Shimon, who's taking care of these animals, only gets whey, which is only a small byproduct of milk, and he only gets that small amount of wool that comes off from washing the animal and from the sheep walking and getting some of its wool stuck in thorns, and therefore that's a very small amount. That is a very small amount, and Tanakama hold that that's not enough to be considered a payment to the worker and a payment to Shimon that would help us in order to make sure that it's not considered ribbis. And as the Gemara explained, Tanakama Sovla Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Tanakama holds like the Shita of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, which was the last Shita, the Brisa that we had, the Amar Nosei L'Schar Mishalem, that he has to pay him his full wages, and by only paying him whey or the small amount of wool, that's not considered a full wage. And Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Sovla Kavua, however, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda holds like his father, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Afilu Tavid Limoy El Betziav Lo'ach Limoy El Gregor Sachas Zeu Scharei, that even if you didn't make up anything like Chila, and Reuven allowed Shimon, who was taking care of these animals, to dip his food into fish brine, or Shimon ate a dried fig, that would be considered enough, and it would not be a problem of ribbis, even though you didn't pay him a full and fair wage. And the Gemara continues with the third brisa, Tana Rabbanan Maskeres Ish L'Chaverta Tana Goylis B'Shnei Afreichin, that if Rachel has a hen and Leah has eggs, then Rachel can tell Leah, you give me all of your eggs, and my hen will incubate your eggs, and I will get a set payment for every year, and I'll keep two young chickens every single year as my payment and as my wage. And as Rashi explains, in this case, Rachel is not taking on any responsibility for Leah's eggs, and therefore this is a regular case where Rachel hired her hen to Leah for a set wage, and there is no element of a loan and no element of ribbis that's shayach to have in this scenario. However, the Brisa continues, Isha Sha'amal Chavisa Tana Gedel Shaliyu Beim Shalichim Vaniva At Nachlik Bafrechim Then Rabbi Yehuda Matev Rabbi Shimon Isa, in a scenario where the deal between Rachel and Leah is that I will take all of your bayim and I will have my hen sit on and incubate your eggs, and instead of making up a set wage, Rachel said to Leah that we will do this based on a 50-50 profit share, and I will take on 50% of the losses of your bayim as well. And as we explained before, this scenario is called the Chetzi Milva and Chetzi Pekadin, and the Brisa tells us that in this case, Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter and Rabbi Shimon says it's asa, and the Gemara is bothered that L'chir Rabbi Shimon, who says it's asa, seems to be the right shita, as we learned in the Mishnah that the only way that you can make a deal where it's chetzi milva and chetzi pekadin is if Rachel actually gets gets compensated for her work and for the fee that she gives the chickens. And in this scenario, Rachel's not being compensated, and therefore there should be a problem of ribbis, as by the fact that she's doing work for Leah for free, that is based on the fact that Leah lent her eggs, and therefore it's definitely mechzik ribbis, and there should be an issue of ribbis drabanon. Therefore, the Gemara asks that how could Rabbi Yehuda say it's mutar? Rabbi Yehuda loy boy ischar molly mizaynai. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that there's no issue of ribbis, even though Rachel's not getting compensated for her work and for the feed that she's providing the chickens? And the Gemara answers it could be meizrais, that we're talking about a scenario where Rachel made a deal with Leah that certainly we will split all of the eggs that actually fertilize and actually become chickens, and we will split those chickens 50-50. However, any egg that doesn't fertilize and doesn't grow into a chick, then I will have a right to eat it. And as Rashi says, behem utaris b'achila, and we know these behem meizrais, which did not get fertilized, are mutter to eat, as the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Kulin, behem meizrais nefesh yafa teichlam. And at this point, Rashi is bothered that if Rachel is getting a wage, then l'chari, why would Rav Shimon argue, and why would Rav Shimon say it's asa? And Rashi says that Rabbi Yehuda is going to shitase the amma afilu tavli may b'tzir zeros chari, that even if you get a very small wage, and even if you didn't make that wage up at the beginning, then that is a valid schar, and there's no problem of ribbis. However, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is also going to shitase the amma neto schari mishalim, that the only way that we don't consider ribbis is if you get a full-fledged fair wage, and since Rachel is only entitled to bein meizrais, that's not a full fair wage, and therefore if Shimon holds, then in this case it would be asa, and it would be considered ribbis drabanan, unless of course Rachel is compensated fully for her melis, as well as any fee that she gave to these chickens. And the Gemara continues with the fourth brisa, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the brisa, and this brisa will discuss a case where Reuven has young animals, and he gives these animals to Shimon in order for Shimon to raise these animals. And when dealing with very young animals, aside from the standard tircha of dealing with animals, and for the standard feed that is provided to animals, there is also an added tircha that the person that is taking care of the animals has to carry these young animals, and the animals just don't walk by themselves. In some places, when giving an animal to someone to care for, they used to give them a wage for carrying the animals as well. And therefore, the Brisa will teach us that in a place where the minig is to pay for a person that carries these animals, then when going and making a deal, which is a chetzi milva and chetzi pikadon, not only would Reuven have to pay Shimon for the schar of kepoil batel shel oisel melacha de batel mina, as well as for the fee that he gave these animals, but he will also have to pay for the standard fee that is paid to someone that takes care of young animals for carrying the animals. And the Brisa states that Tanakama tells us Mokum Shinogul Hale Ska Kosov Lemois Lebehema Malin Beim Shadim Mingamedina, that this is the minig that you pay for the person carrying the animals, then you have to make sure to pay him that wage as well, and you can't change Mingamedina. And of course, this is Mashma, like the Shita of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai that we had previously, that you have to pay him a full fledged wage. However, Reb Shimon Gamliel states Shaman Egalim Imai Vesiachim Imai, that if Reuven is giving Shimon the mothers as well as the children and as well as the young eagle and the young siach, then he could do so and he doesn't have to add on any additional money. And the Gemara is, Rav Shimon Gamliel, how can you say Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you don't have to pay for the value for carrying the animal if lemaisa he was matriach, and if you don't pay him, that would be considered like ribbis? And the Gemara answers, ikaglolim, that even though you're not going to pay him for the full amount of his schar, as you won't pay Shimon for carrying these animals, since at some times it does walk together with its mother, and therefore he doesn't have to carry it. Ultimately, Shimon does get value, as Shimon receives all the fertilizer that these animals produce, and he doesn't pay for it, and therefore that's considered enough of a schar, and therefore it counterbalances any work that he did with these agolim, and even if he had to carry these agolim, that's already included in the value of the fertilizer. And the Gemara continues, v'idoch and Tanakam holds, glom apkurim that we don't consider that Reuven gave anything to Shimon, and even though Shimon could keep the fertilizer, as everyone is mafka that fertilizer, and therefore we don't consider that Shimon got any wages. And the Maisa we see that Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't hold that you have to give him his full wages and his full value, as he says you could just give him the fertilizer and that is enough. And therefore we see that Rav Shimon Gamliel actually agrees to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda that we had previously in the first Brisa, that Rabbi Yehuda imah afilu lo tavli imay al betzia v'lo ochli imay al gregos achas zero scharei, that is considered enough of a wage. And he also agrees to the shita of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda that we had in the second brisa, where we stated Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda savala kavua. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda holds like his father Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore the Gemara says that Rav Nachman halakha Rabbi Yehuda, halakha Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, halakha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, as all of them hold that even if you don't pay a full wage, and even if you didn't set the wage prior to him doing the work, that as long as he gets some sort of a benefit, that is enough and is not considered ribbis, and it would be mutar, and we will stop over here.